Drive home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It's a big week around here. We've had some champagne at Yankee Stadium. Orioles go play some really meaningful games next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday back here in our house at Camden Yards. There's a football game on Sunday night, and if you've seen our team play, and if you've seen their team play, you would know there's a tall task in order, and we will be the spotlight of all spotlights in the other parking lot on this side, as the spotlights of NBC come to town, and we'll have all the Collingsworths and the Tirico's and all the fun stuff here. The Bills are on their way in. I'm doing so much baseball this week. We've had crab cake tours, oyster tours. Maryland Lottery sending me on Friday down to Costas, and I'm going to eat crab cakes, talk about the Capital Center. I get my favorite Buffalonian, Mike Rosigliano, out to talk some Bills as well. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. We are doing this crazy 26 oysters in 26 days. 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. They keep my water clean, and the oysters keep the bay clean, which is why I'm getting them out and eating them. Rockefeller, roasted, grilled. I don't know what buffalo sauce. Somebody offered me some hot sauce on a oyster the other day. I don't know if it was quite what I would get there with Frank and Teresa at the Anchor Bar. No relation to Mulligan's Brick Bar or any of the other place where I had Labatt's up in Buffalo. Vic Carucci, I was trying to figure this out, Vic, because you're like Sirius XM Channel 88. You're like doing TV in Buffalo, which I think you've probably done for a million years. You spent a spell in Cleveland. Don't tell the people in Cleveland, but I like Buffalo better, of all places. I think I read you when I was a very young man in maybe Football Digest, or maybe, like, is that possible? You are
Oh yeah.
nodding your head. So I'm not nuts to say that you and Balzer are really the old farts around here that I read when I was at Barry Bloom on the baseball side. But, like, when I see your name, it means something to me that I think was before, way before I knew you, I felt like I knew your byline.
Well, first of all, I'll take that as a very nice compliment. I love your acumen of Buffalo, and your accent too. You do that well. But
That's
I
for
know you.
Sick's wife's accent, by the way. Where Sick's wife is from, she's from Depew and
Right.
Cheektowaga in Lancaster. Yeah, so, like, yeah, I pick up,
You,
it's
yeah.
Terry Rosigliano's accent for me,
Oh yeah,
whose
no,
son named me Nasty Nestor, by the way. So just so you know.
and Rasig, one of the all-time greats when it came to Buffalo media, his
Courier Express.
cartoons, Courier Express. And when I was hired, back in the day, 1982 is when I arrived here from South Jersey. I was covering the first NFL team I covered, was the Eagles. For the Courier Post r across the river,
What year
and
is that?
that would have been 79.
Bergie? Bergie?
Bergie was right at the tail end,
Again?
but Jaworski at quarterback, Vermeil at head coach, Herman Edwards at cornerback,
Quick.
and Wilbert Montgomery at running back. So it was a fun time, but a real that was my indoctrination and my reality check of what covering the NFL. That first taste of what it was all about, and it's never, I just never stopped from there. But that all said, when you mentioned Courier Express in Buffalo, so they bring me aboard in '82, the Buffalo News. It was the evening news at the time, and this was when there was true PM evening newspaper, and you had a true morning newspaper. The Courier was the morning, so the competition was intense, and the Courier was kind of teetering, and the Buffalo Evening News, Warren Buffett owned it at the time, making this big push to put the Courier basically out of business because they knew they wanted to take 100% of the market. Just one of the principles of business, and become a more Buffalo's morning and afternoon paper. That eventually happened, but I was it was fierce competition. I respected all those guys so well. A guy named Eric Brady, who was a columnist for USA
USA
Today.
Today,
I know
yeah.
you know Eric well. He's one of my dearest friends, Rasig and his cartoon. I mean, the quality of what we were facing every day was really something at the Buff. And I felt at our best, we still might not be better than what they were doing, or we could be on an even scale. But I knew this. You had every day, you had to bring it. You had to bring it.
And you have Marv Levy there. You're about to get Jim Kelly, like all of that. Vic Carucci's, by the way, if Mike Bellani, if there's a message, my love to him and his family for what
Yes.
they've gone through. I got so many friends in Western New York, Vic. And I would just say this, the wanting, the waiting. I was in Rasig's living room, and Tasker was going to come on this week, and he got busy. And I love Steve. I love you. You know that. And I said, I don't want to bring this up, but I was in their living room when the Norwood moment happened. And to think all of these years later, I was in the stadium with Rasig when they beat the salt out of Jay Schrader and Art Shell. It was 51-3. The Bills make me want to shout, you know. So, and you know, all of that era, and thinking all these years later, and this is my ode to the Orioles and my little kiss to them, my chef's kiss to them, is that the Orioles won the World Series in 83. The Bills have never won. You go back to all of these years and all
Right.
of that waiting and wanting that the Chiefs had for a long time. We've had a couple of parades here. You know, I mean, we're, you
Yeah.
know, the Browns, your other team you covered, never tasted. A lot of places haven't had it. Your place, forget the mafia and diving from the tables and everything that's going to go on down here in Sunday Night Football. This team, when it starts 3-0 in your market, of all places, it is a family heirloom and treasure. And this is rarefied air. You've been there before, but all of you in Buffalo want to believe and do believe, really believe, like Santa Claus believe, that it's going to happen. And when you get this kind of a start, I think it's one of the really cool fan bases in the league because you haven't won in some way.
Well, you're right, Nestor, in terms of the mindset of the fan base, the desire, the want, the continued belief, even through that stretch, that 17 years of darkness, no playoffs, and how that was really handled and the way it was handled, things like you mentioned diving on tables and all the crazy stuff that happens in the parking lot, fans found other ways to entertain themselves because what was happening in the stadium wasn't doing it for him.
Well, there was also we're going to play in Toronto, and Jon Bon
Well,
Jovi and like.
there was a lot going on. And then yes, then the passing of Ralph Wilson, the founder, the original owner, certainly that opened the door to
Well, I had my
okay,
Baltimore Colts belt buckle when I was a kid. So
there.
that's real. When your franchise is teetering in
Yes.
that way and you're saying, we're a small market, we don't have money, try, like
Yeah.
your every fan went through that moment thinking, we could
What,
be the Tennessee, we could be, and not now, but I
yeah.
think that that's also rooted in we fought to keep this team. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it was, no,
Like,
there was a palpable sense. But look, it's a small, here's the other constant, though. And it's different for Baltimore. It's different for most of the 32, I mean, of the, where the these teams are located, 32 to, what is it, 30 markets. The sense that, okay, it's small. This is right at the bottom and price wise. And look, they're building a new stadium right across the street from the current one. The cost of that being built, the PSLs that are going to be involved for those who want to have tickets, they're smaller venue. So fewer seats, higher price on the demand. They're hoping the current team is what, not hoping, that's what they are using as their best sales pitch, current success to sell future investment, excuse me. And then there's this, and you said it, this belief that they're going to be or someday be this Super Bowl champion. But it's like the old Peanuts cartoon that they worry that, you know, you're getting ready to kick the ball. Charlie Brown's kicking the ball and Lucy's going to pull it out and there's going to be a splat. Always, even at 3-0, that's the sense. Yes, they're 3-0, playing arguably the best football of the entire league, but it's still September, and they've seen these dreams blow up in January, and that's the question. The question isn't anymore, are they going to win the division? Are they going to be in the playoffs? Question is, what are they going to do in January?
Lamar Jackson has that certainly, and so does John Harbaugh at this point. It's been 12 years since championship. You know, Lamar hasn't had great success in January. There's the health of him, and I've said about Josh Allen, and I'd say this about Lamar because Lamar runs into linebackers, and Luke hates when I say that, but it's true. He had 22-point lead. He's running a draw play in the third quarter, and I'm like, I don't. But Josh Allen has that mindset that he'll run over Roquan Smith if he has to on Sunday night in game four of the season, or at least had that for a long period of time. I want you to tell me about what you're seeing with Josh Allen because, like, MVP of the league through 3 weeks. Clearly, what we saw against Jacksonville feels like that thing is. Has come into its own at this point. And we're all waiting for that light for Lamar. And you've seen it in 19. You saw it last year. He's a two-time MVP. But Josh Allen's that other guy
Yeah.
who's needs a cast of characters like they all do, but he plays the game sort of in a way that it always frightens me when Lamar plays that way.
Yeah, and it's the only way Josh Allen's going to play, the only way Lamar's going to play. Their secret weapon, their superpower, it's not a secret, it's superpower, is what they can do with their legs as well as their arms, and then how they incorporate them either separately or together. And with Josh, it's more size. It's the idea of how he defies the sort of the physics that say a man 6'5" and almost 240, and as thick, as strong as he is, can fly, and not just run fly, but fly through the air and leap on a single bound and do these Superman things that he does that are real. But there is con it's football. There is contact. Yes, he has a lot of body armor, but there is that foreboding sense that it's only a matter of time. Like with Lamar and others who take a lot of hits when they're running, when are those hits going to, result in putting him on the sideline?
Well, the thing I keep preaching is, dude,
Yeah.
you can slide. You're the quarterback. They can't
Yeah,
hit you.
but slide.
Peyton Manning made a five, the last 5 years of his career after his neck went
Yeah.
sideways, he won a Super Bowl by fetal positioning, literally, and just saying, you know, I get my 2 yards, my 3 yards, you're
That's an
not gonna
art, but
pop
that's a
me.
skill, but that's a skill that not every quarterback either has or wants to adhere to. And there's a difference because the slide means when at the point at which you give yourself up, butt touches ground. That's the marking point of the end of the run. It's not where the slide totally ends, because slide is just that, right? You're still moving, and if you slide and you're near the line to gain, great. But if you're short of it, and depending on the circumstance, you've created a situation of problem. That's why in so many instances these guys want to run like running backs, want to show power as well as that ability to protect themselves, and they're just not good at it. Look, the Bills have talked about this with Josh, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, the GM. Protect yourself. Be aware of that. Excuse me. And it's not been his greatest strength, is protecting himself.
Well, and that's problematic when you are the franchise at this point. Vic Carucci is here, longtime Buffalo News, longtime Buffalonian. I didn't even know he's from Jersey, but how's a Jersey guy
Well,
get in the Buffalo
not.
Hall of
No,
Fame?
no, no.
That's crazy, right?
Not from Jersey,
You're
from
from,
Central New
you
York.
went down there to work.
Where that was a
You're a
job. Yes.
Utica guy, right?
Yeah. So Jersey was my first big boy job, so to speak, and just an opportunity that came out of nowhere to be able to cover an NFL team. I actually was hired down there to cover college sports, but I ended up on the NFL beat.
What are putting you in the Buffalo Hall of Fame here? What is that? Do you
Yeah,
get a dinner? You get a
great.
chicken dinner out of that? What happens?
I don't know what they're serving. Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. It'll be November 12th, the induction ceremony.
Hope
And
it's buffalo chicken.
if it is, absolutely. And one of my, but the here's the best part. One of my classmates of the class of 2024 is none other than Rob Gronkowski, who of course is from the area, went to school here. I know him well. He spent time where I mean, at this house and in this my office here. Many a time, because he went to school with my younger daughter, and they were in the same circle of friends. And what you're looking at behind me, this case of a lot of memorabilia, I'll tell you, I'll share a story, a fun story. Rob, who even at he was about eighth grade, he was eighth grade, and they were here for something, if it was a birthday party, whatever. And at one point, my daughter Lindsay, my younger daughter, says, "Dad, would you would you show Rob your stuff? Because he's, he's into sports, blah, blah, blah. I said, sure.
Was he
And
6'7" then? Like big
I'm
monster
telling you,
kid?
I,
Yeah.
whatever I was, he was about here. Yeah, he was taller than me in eighth grade. Now, I had seen him play football, basketball, hockey, baseball. He did it all. He had the thing, right? He's the natural, which we would say is true with almost all these less than one percenters who get to play in the NFL or any other major sport. He's in here and he's studying, he's looking at all this stuff. And he's taking it, and it's like it feels like a minute or so. And he's kind of like doing this. Then he turns to me, he goes, Mr. Carucci, one of these days, you're gonna write a paper about me. And I looked at him and I said, you know
That's a
what,
pretty good
Rob?
Gronkowski, too. You thought I did a good Buffalo. That's pretty good Gronk.
Well, yeah, I was around him a lot. And I said, Rob, and I knew what he meant. He's gonna achieve these heights of NFL greatness, whatever. And I said, yeah. I said, I believe that. I said, you, I've seen him. I had seen him play. So I said, I believe it. I said, you're on that path. And again, it wasn't a realization of something. It was well understood at that point of his life in the football family, sports family that the Gronkowskis are, that he was a chosen one for sure. Well, fast forward to him playing for the Patriots. And playing, of course, the Bills, and then early on, one of these games, and he had a typically great game with Brady, and coming up the tunnel at the stadium, Highmark Stadium, and he sees me, and I'm waiting to go into the press conference area, but he sees me as he's coming off, and he throws those big arms around me and like lifts me up, like. And he could have lifted me and tossed me like a grocery bag, and I thought my ribs were going to crush. He goes, you see, you believed in me. You believed in me. And I'm looking at him, and I didn't say it, but in my head, who didn't believe in you? You were like, oh, second round pick that you clearly, because he had told me before that draft when we were at the combine in Indianapolis, we were talking on the field, and he said. He goes, I'm the best one in this draft. And when I heard best one, I said, yeah, best tight end, absolutely. He goes, no, I'm the best player in this draft. He knew it, and he was right, obviously.
Well, you hold a Hall of Fame card, which is probably going to lead me to Terrell Suggs and Marshall Yanda here momentarily, and we'll get back on to the Bills. Vic Carucci is our guest here at Baltimore Positive. Follow his work out at SiriusXM Channel 88, real historian of the game. I'm sorry I called you a Jersey guy. I'll never do that again. I've been
That's
there.
all right.
So.
I own, that time was a great, listen, without that time in Jersey, 4 seasons of covering the Eagles, Ron Jaworski and Dick Vermeil, the head coach. And to this day, two of the dearest friends I have, Wilbert Montgomery worked with him in Cleveland for a
Jaw's a
while.
Buffalo guy,
Jaws
right?
is Lackawanna, New York, Buffalo. But that team was a great for me, especially Jaws. I of course believe that every player you dealt with would be like that, would give you everything you need, quote wise, whatever. It was quite an awakening when I started covering other teams when I got to Buffalo and realized not everybody's Jaws and not every coach is like Vermeil and not, it was, it, but anyway,
I'm
it
that way
was.
with Billick and Flacco and the good people, the Marvin
Yeah.
Lewis's, the really good people that I've met in the sport. And I think that as we get older, that's what you take. And by the way, I love your Gronkowski story. And I know you're going to be buffing that up for when you go into the Buffalo Hall of Fame, Greater
Well,
Buffalo
he
Hall of Fame
want
as well.
real
So.
quick. We texted when we both the day we were both informed. This was April that we were informed that we were in this same class, and I texted him, and he was like really fired up. And I'm thinking, it, obviously it's a, I think it's a tremendous honor. I'm still pinching myself, but he's a guy who is gonna see as a Hall of Fame voter. And I told him this. I already have my ballot filled out for your first year, obviously, as do the other voters, I'm sure, as a first ballot guy, but for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But he responded how happy he was and how that it would be the two of us kind of going in together, that there was something right about that.
Are you
One.
making the case for Gronkowski at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or
No,
will it be a
it'll be,
Patriot writer?
I'm sure it'll be a Boston,
Okay,
a
fair
writer
enough.
from the Patriots. But he one of the
It's okay, Vic.
excuse me,
Vic, yeah.
one of the things he said was, can we tell that story about the eighth grade, about this office? And I texted him. I said, absolutely, it's your show, buddy. It's you're the star. I said, I'll do whatever the heck you need we need to do on that stage.
Vic, you could still give a better speech than him. I mean, you could. I mean, you know what I mean? Listen, if I went into a Hall of Fame and I had to do it with Ray Lewis, I'd really have to work on my speech. You know what I mean? So, Vic
He's good.
Carucci's up in Buffalo. They're coming down here to break tables and bring their mafia and buy our tickets and leave their red, white, and blue and their Zubaz behind. How are you feeling about the Ravens right now, Vic? You cover the whole league at SiriusXM. I mean, you're not just a Buffalo guy, although I called you specifically for that purpose. But boy, the Ravens have really been a disappointment as a collective, not just being 1-2, but just the way they've played football. And the word John keeps using in these press conferences that I'm no longer a part of is consistency, consistency. Well, that's really what's been missing. And this feels like a tall task because the one thing it feels like the Bills have been over 3 weeks is Cardinals were good, but pretty good. I mean, the Bills have been top of class for the whole league the first 3 weeks.
Well, I like how you began that question. How you're feeling? I'm feeling better than I sound, and I apologize for
So
that
I
and
hope
the
so. That's good.
occasional coughs. But look, I mean, they're 1-2. I bought into the logic or the consensus thought that they were and are, I guess, but were before the season. A legit contender that you had to make your if we make your short list, Ravens are on it. I voted for Lamar, by the way, for MVP during the season. I mean, he was, and the way that vote goes is you rank the MVPs candidates. So there's a scoring system, whoever gets the most first place, second place, etc. I had given my first place to him. And I thought he deserved it based on his regular, excuse me, season. Those who have been critical or said, how can you give that, especially Buffalo fans who were upset that, well, why wasn't it Josh based on, the postseason comparison? But even at that, you could argue neither one of them has gotten where they want to be. One, two, it's not a postseason award. That's the structure of the award. Our ballots are finished when the season ends. That said, they need to, I need to see something better than what they've shown. Whatever this consistency talk is, I don't know when I watch the Ravens, I'm at a point now where I don't believe in their ability to hold a lead. And obviously the numbers back that, and I'm sure there's any number of Ravens fans who feel that, never feel a sense of comfort. And I was what with my wife, we were watching the Dallas game. And I said, they're gonna find a way to lose this game. They shouldn't, but they're gonna. It's gonna come apart. And it happens defensively, and it happens with penalties, and it happens with sloppiness. And I think it's a focus thing or a concentration thing. I don't know what it is. I mean, that is on John Harbaugh to figure that out. I always had given him high marks for his ability and, the consistency of the organization with Eric DaCosta and so forth is legitimate, but there are troubling trends that this team has. And I think that's what, can undo, has undid them and will continue to undo them because they just don't have that collective lockdown feeling. They don't know how to really consistently close out games. And even though they won enough to, and maybe they'll win enough to be division champions, I don't know, but they're in a 1-2 should be perhaps 0-3 hole right now. And I don't think it's getting any better when they face a Buffalo team that has figured out how to overcome its and by the way, I think the Ravens are certainly in many ways you could argue more stacked, have more elements that could give them the ability to win this. I know the odds makers have them favored by a bit, what, 2.5 or something like that. But Buffalo losing Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, remake on their O-line with a couple of positions, center and a guard spot, remake on the back end of their defense, injuries at linebacker, Matt Milano, big time linebacker, nickel, corner Taron Johnson out. I think what we've seen the last three, and I'm going to also throw in the caveat that they're playing, each opponent gives you a little different sense. Maybe I underestimated what Arizona was. I didn't think it should have been that hard against Arizona for the Bills, but it was. But maybe that's because I sold Arizona short. Miami's, it's over for them. Obviously, even before Tua's injury, I think they're just, they are a disheveled organization, period. And then we saw Jacksonville, which, they've got a disaster. I mean, they're a disaster. It starts at quarterback, add coach, add whatever.
Well, the Ravens will look like a disaster if they lose by by a field goal Sunday because they'll be 1-3. 1-3 is a disaster.
One
Even
and
if
three
it's
is
not,
a
it's a,
it's
and Cincinnati right now, disaster.
disaster. Cincinnati. So I guess the question is, who is and what is Buffalo doing? Yes, they've won in dominant fashion these last two in different ways because the defense led the way against Miami. The offense did it, and that's really what should be so troubling for Ravens and every opponent going forward. They found now what it is that they can do with, 10 different guys caught passes from Josh Allen. Ball comes out faster. The protection was remarkable. Joe Brady in his first now full-time season as an offensive coordinator in Buffalo, doing spectacular work with this group, far better than I think what Ken Dorsey did, because Joe understands you got to have a basis of a running game to set up other things. So James Cook running the football. And then defensively, Bobby Babich, the new defensive coordinator. I was with Bobby in Baltimore. I watched his career rise there. And then when he came to Buffalo as an assistant, and again, with his dad, who's now retired, Bob Babich, linebacker coach. And Bobby coached the back end, coached linebacker. He's been groomed. He's going to be a head coach in this league someday. He's running this scheme, this Sean McDermott scheme, to perfection, frankly, with a lot of. And here's the thing: the backup players believe they are being put in a good position, but they believe that they can step up. And this is the Sean McDermott way too. He has a way of getting everybody ready to feel like a starter, even if they're not with the first group, and that's showing up.
Well, I mean, the questions about McDermott and about Josh Allen and exit Diggs, exit several players, the whole situation with Damar Hamlin, they've been through a lot of transition. I mean, I think people look at the Ravens and say, well, it's been Stanley and Humphrey and Lamar. Roquan's been a great heart transplant into the middle of this, but the Ravens, neither one of these teams have gotten anywhere near where they want to go in January. I mean,
No.
even Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl. There's a point where you start to throw out other elements of the team, and Buffalo did that in the offseason. I thought maybe they're nearing the end. When you start to get rid of pieces, and then they come out and they got the right pieces. And that's the part, I think, a month into this, because the Ravens talked about their offensive line all offseason, letting guys go. They talked about we'll be able to get rid of Patrick Queen and other players, and we'll be able to, and we're going to draft the kid on the back end, the cornerback Wiggins. And Mark Andrews is a rumor right now, right? I mean, the passing game's still a rumor. The Derrick Henry addition was supposed to be incredible, except when there's no holes and there's no line, and these guys
Right.
really aren't great at pass blocking because they got a 6'8", 340-pound guard, playing right guard. So
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. I'm watching it and saying, John's really smart. He's been doing that, to your point, Eric, all this. They built this thing around Lamar, and it feels like Lamar's very vulnerable with an offensive line that can't get it done. And
Yeah, I no, I you're spot on. What are they? And I don't think they know, by the way. And I think that's the frustration. I mean, John Harbaugh is never going to, and nor should he ever admit that or acknowledge that we're even close to being correct to that. Because as a head coach, he's got to keep that belief there and work with what he has. But it is a team that doesn't have a true identity at all. And it's Lamar magic time or bust. And Lamar magic time can get you a lead, it can get you some big plays, obviously dynamic, game-changing plays, but those don't serve as knockout punches in this league, as even as the competition is. I mean, there might have been a point when it did, But I think that's an older school approach to football. And you look at a team like Buffalo, are you kidding me? I mean, again, if the Ravens come up with a couple of quick early plays and take an early lead, I'm going to sit back there. And when I say early, like say two touchdown lead, I'm going to sit back and say that those against Buffalo and against a Raven defense that just doesn't know its own way when it comes to protecting leads and the game flow and all of that, it's very unlikely to stand, and that Buffalo would come. It might be the worst position for the Ravens to find themselves. Maybe the best thing would be get it back and forth. The Chief formula, which is, keep it tight, keep it tight. I know the Chiefs want to be winning by landslides, but what is their formula? Set it up so Mahomes can win it at the end. Figure it out that way. And even at that, with both of these quarterbacks, Jackson and Allen, you're still looking at teams that are, I mean, at teams that can find, either one can find that last possession ability.
Carucci has been finding the National Football League for 5 decades. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He's about to go into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. And I hope they serve Buffalo chicken at that dinner for you as well. And man, a tall task. We saw the schedule come out, Vic, and I said, watch this schedule. Kansas City out of the gate. Offensive line, who knows? Raiders was an easy win, and then it wasn't. Cowboys, 22-point lead's not good enough. At some point, and then the best team on the planet shows up on Sunday night, and you got to go heavyweight here or go to 1-3. Well, at least we have the Orioles on Tuesday. And no matter what, I've told people that. Like, no matter what happens, the Orioles are at least going to play two games on Tuesday and Wednesday. Vic, I know you like baseball too. I will. We'll do that on next week's edition. We'll find you out at SiriusXM. I know you're doing TV in Buffalo. You're always doing great work up there. If we have it our way here in Baltimore, I guess the Ravens will see the Bills again in January. I told Tasker that.
Yeah, I think there's no question the trajectory for both teams is to be in the postseason. A little better for the Bills right now, but yeah, at 1-3, let's just talk, go back to the Ravens. They lose this game, and again, it's a home loss. The internal belief, disbelief, or whatever you want to call it, or belief, is going to be shattered. John Harbaugh's job has just gotten so much tougher. And then the questions are going to be intensified as to what is wrong with this team. And it's in a division now where, the best news for them, the team that's on the top is who? Pittsburgh Steelers. Are they at 3-0 like this, unbeatable? No, I mean, nobody's unbeatable, but Justin Fields and the Steelers. Yeah, the Steelers defense, legit. But are you looking at them to sustain that? And I've got real questions about that.
Well, they'd also have lost tiebreakers to Kansas City and Buffalo. Then
Right.
they'd be three games or two and a half, four, whatever it was with Pittsburgh. You feel like, well, we can win the Pittsburgh games and catch
Yeah.
up. They're not going to, the notion that there's going to be home cooking and buys
Oh.
when you're 1-3. Now, wake up after a Justin Tucker 51-yard old school field goal to beat the Bills, and you feel good. They beat the Bills. Now, all of a sudden, they've finally got a pelt on their wall this year, and I would
That's
agree there'd be
yeah.
no better pelt than that. And
That's a
I
big one. Yeah.
this is the bigger game than maybe we thought it was, even when it came out on the calendar. Clearly, our friends at NBC knew a little something about it on Sunday night. So Sunday night football here in Baltimore. We're gonna have Tuesday and Wednesday baseball, maybe Thursday baseball here in Baltimore. Big week, Vic. Pack your lunch pail, pack your buffalo wings. Come on down here. We're gonna have a good football game on Sunday night. I always love time. Hey, before you go, Yandy and Suggs, Hall of Fame. Anything on that?
You know, excuse me.
No worries.
I had a yeah. Hope. Anyway, hope it didn't blow out the speaker. Both very deserving of conversation, but in terms of their pure worthiness, we'll see. I think there's going to be a discussion. I'm leaning more in the direction of believing Yanda's case in just in my mind. But I know what Terrell Suggs, has certainly been capable of and what he's done. But I need to hear both cases laid out as thoroughly as they can be when we get into that meet, you know, those meetings and discuss their candidacy. These are going to be discussions. I don't think either falls into necessarily a slam dunk category. It gets a little easier for linemen, O-linemen sometimes, just because you can get the advocacy built for their, you know, play, and you're not measuring numbers, and you're not measuring, I mean, those come into play, but less so when you're looking at the skill set, if that makes sense.
On the longevity. I
And
mean,
longevity,
and listen, there was a point in my life before they threw me out where I could have been the Hall of Fame voter because I've seen more football than anybody. Traveling there, locker rooms, writing books, all of that stuff, that if it were ever to have come to my doorstep to be a voter and I had a vote, I would put Yanda ahead of Suggs. Because I watched it. I watched it to the end. And I also, Suggs always had a character issue for me. There's only one guy that ever took his finger like this and stuck it in my ear in a locker room. That was Terrell Suggs. The bleach incident, seeing his ass hanging out in the locker room, just crazy stuff that he did. And the WWE every week with Vince.
I will
None
hasten
of that, no, that's all, this is play
I
on the
will
field,
hasten
right?
that. None of that,
None of that matters.
none of that matters. It's a football discussion. We aren't the moral police, nor should we be. None of us in that room, men and women
O.J.
who
Simpson would
vote,
never be taken out, is what you're saying, no
we
matter
got
what.
no, we've got when those votes are made and those cases are made, and it's spelled out as clearly as could be in the
That's
bylaws.
why they want me to be a
That is
voter then.
all we consider. So the character issues that you referenced mean nothing, mean zero. So I mean, you could have them in the back of your mind as a person who's had that experience with a player or whatever. But
I
if
would call
it
that the Jimmy the
clouds.
Greek intangibles, Vic. There would be a category for me that just says, what are the intangibles? Leadership skills? What kind of person are we putting a bust and a jacket on
No.
to honor? And
No,
so for me,
tell me what kind of player he is, because let me tell you,
100%. I
there's a
Suggs deserves to
lot
be
of
in the Hall of
quality,
Fame.
Nestor. There's a lot of quality human beings. A lot of quality human beings. And when I say quality, I mean they are the best examples in life of how to lead your life, who don't play as well as those who don't have those quote great qualities. And therefore, they're not great players. They're not in the Hall of Fame. And whatever that Hall of Fame may be. But I'm talking about the one that I vote for. So trust me, if they happen to be, you know, that quote good guy, we are not an order, you know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame by its existence is not a place where it's the character Hall of Fame. It's the let's look at those bronze buses. Oh, great guy, great guy. Hey, you know what? He's a great guy. Why? Because oh, he played great. No, it doesn't go that way.
They have
Never
an award for that. It's
before.
Walter Payton, is what you're saying.
I'm saying that that's,
Yeah,
I, you
right.
know, we know there are some tremendous human beings in the hall, absolutely, who carried themselves. But we also know there's the opposite of that. And
I
so
sit
be
here and
it.
talk to Baseball Hall of Fame with my last name about everything from Clemente and Ty Cobb to Pete Rose and Curt Schilling and to steroids and A-Rod and Clemens. The Football Hall of Fame to me, I think they're both Hall of Famers, okay? So if I had to make a vote, but I think Yanda will get in first, I said. And listen, this is part of the rhetoric, and Luke and I went back and forth last week on the air because Luke tends to be a little bit more, like you, the grown up in the room, and I tend to be the guy with the long hair. I
I
said
have no
something
hair. Go ahead.
Harbaugh, like I get my hair's longer. I'm like the guy in the Tesla song, took off the hat, imagine that. I said to Luke, I said, Harbaugh takes the podium and says, they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. I'm like, well, there's a little hyperbole there. I'm like, first off, they're both going to struggle to get in because all these kind of guys struggle to get in because there's five guys in line in front of them, and there's some guy in Cleveland that doesn't like them, and there's something, whatever it is, right? And so I said, they're neither one or first ballot. So let's speak in real terms here. When I talk to you and Balzer and King and all the people that have the votes, what constitutes a first ballot versus wherever Yanda and Suggs are going to be? But I would say, to me, they're both Hall of Famers. I think Yanda will get in first, not because of personal issues, just because there were, I don't say Suggs were a dime a dozen, but there were more pass rushers in line, usually waiting, than there are just these road grader guards who were, generational players.
I mean that term and it's okay, the first ballot thing. I w w earlier in our discussion I was talking about Rob Gronkowski. To me, that's, you know, that
Yeah, he's
slam
probably
dunk
just
kind of
getting in. I
thing.
agree with that. He's
You know,
probably just getting
that I would have no, you know, that is, he, all the qualifications are there. Your mind is set. You know, the mic drop presentations in the meeting rooms, in the meeting room for, you know, Peyton Manning, for eventually for Tom Brady, for, you know, where those are the Jerry Rice. I've seen it and lived it during my time as a voter. And I understand that. Those are your quote, you know, your undeniables. When it comes to, and I'd say we're seeing this a little more. And again, until Brady comes up and some of the others, maybe that you'll see at other positions, it's you're like a Larry Fitzgerald, whatever. But as you're seeing it right now, with the specific players you're talking about, Yanda and Suggs, more times than not, it's that discussion. And I'm telling you, those are healthy, great discussions. They're thorough. We are, you know, as a group, we are tasked with, you know, doing our homework, with pulling out the books, making the calls, and contacts with our advisors throughout the league. A lot of coaches, you know, co current former coaches, current former GMs, current former players, to get perspectives and weave together, you know, your base of opinion that's sound. I think I want to believe soundly researched. I'm not going to speak for the entire panel, but I know when I'm in those conversations, people have done their homework. It's you, if you don't walk into that meeting prepared for that discussion, then you don't belong in the meeting. And I will tell you, we will, you know, the group will always, the decisions will get second guessed by the outsiders who believe it's, you know, it's just as simple as look at the computer, look at the numbers, whatever. No, it isn't. That's why, you know, because if it was, then you could just punch in numbers and make it an AI thing. Maybe one day, maybe in my lifetime or not, that's how those will be determined. But as of right now, there's still a human discussion involved, and it's an enormous, I mean, you know, an enormous responsibility, to the point where the worst night of sleep I have is the night before that final
You all are
meeting.
tortured by it. I mean, I know so
Oh,
many. I've known more than half of that room real well, and all of you. I've said it as a kid. You dream of wanting to do it. Nah, not so much. You know what I mean? Like I feel like, and the responsibility on your own backs in communities where the Steve Taskers and the people that, you know, are sort of outside the box in some way trying to get in. Who's out that needs to be in your mind? Give me two or three names that like you're like I'm upset that that guy's not in.
I
Art
don't know
Modell, let's
about
start with that.
I don't know about upset. I try to keep the emotion out of it. I really do, because I think if I color it with emotion, then I'm doing a bad job as a voter. I try to keep my mind open to everybody, frankly. I think there are more difficult challenges. Certainly, you mentioned Tasker, because there'll be more discussion, being the voter from Buffalo, about his worthiness, and whether or not, you know, he should be there. There are a bunch of people in that senior. Go look at the senior pool, which is really an ocean. It's almost 200 names that have been nominated, and I, you know, nominated a bunch that are in there from, a couple from Buffalo that weren't originally on the list, going all the way back to Jack Kemp in the 1960s on that Amer those back-to-back American Football League championship teams. But, you know, I think of course, Steve Tasker. And, you know, does it help that Devin Hester, return guy, granted, not a cover guy like Tasker, goes in the class that we just celebrated in August? Does that help Steve's chances going forward? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I in my own mind, I hope it does, but I also know that, and like other voters, I do the same thing. Okay, how much did he play? You know, how many snaps are we talking about? Does a position player, are you going to penalize a position player, so to speak, keep him out to put in a guy who's played a whole lot less? But
Are you
I'm
going to put Tasker
hoping.
in ahead of Suggs or ahead of and literally and positionally, right? I mean,
Yeah.
that's why it's so tough to get in. That's why I don't think Yanda and Suggs are just gonna. I mean, the Baltimore people, I put them in. Nah, okay. I think they'll
It's a
get there, and I think they're worthy, both of
yeah.
them. but I
You
just, it's not first ballot.
eventually, yeah, eventually you get there, and that's, but anyway, it's a lot of stuff. And by the way, I am never going to say that the voters have all the answers, that they're the smartest people in the world because they pick these. We are usually, held in low esteem by a lot of critics. They never praise us for the size, for who got in. It's usually the who didn't get in and why did you dumbasses miss on all these people? So I get that. And when you're in this position, you're there to be flogged. You're rarely there to be hugged. So
I still
whatever.
give Grossi a hard time about the Art Modell thing, but it's put Yond and Suggs in at some point. You know what I mean? That's all. I mean, I'm not lobbying for anybody. I'm lobbying for the best candidates as well. But I am lobbying for Tasker, just so you know. Vic Carucci is here. He is up in Buffalo doing it for SiriusXM as well as WGGCR. Give it to me.
GRZ.
GRZ. I want to make sure I get it
It's the
right.
MB Hey, it's the NBC affiliate, so Sunday night's game is on our air, which is obviously a great thing. Yeah.
You know what, Vic? I'll be waiting all day for Sunday night on Sunday Night Football, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday, we're gonna have some baseball around here. Just the biggest sports week of the year. Lots of great stuff. By the way, you told the story of the Buffalo Courier Express that begat our friends at Sports First. I did a 40-year retrospective of a failed newspaper this week. We've had crab cakes, we've had oysters all over the area. It's all brought to you by friends at the
Wow.
Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away on Friday at Costas, and we've got football on Sunday night. It's a big one. I am Nestor. My thanks to Vic Carucci up in Buffalo. Not gonna have a whole lot of Buffalonians on here this week, but we got a hell of a football game on Sunday night. Stay with us here at Baltimore Positive.